Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Wednesday, the 7th of January. A very cold morning, probably no matter where you are, but hopefully you are staying warm somewhere and we are your company. And that is, it's very nice to know that you're with us. We welcome you to join in on our conversation that we're about to have, roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also go to our webpage, WAMC.org/roundtable, and comment and post and be a part of our interactive community. That way, we would love to have you. But again, it's roundtable at WAMC.org or WAMC.org/roundtable. Let me introduce our panel to you, and we'll get started with our discussions. WAMC's Ray Graff is here. Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning, Joe.
Political consultant Libby Post joins us. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
And our CEO, our president, our political observer, and a man, and today, you can simply say, he's not full of it today.
Oh. I'm looking at
Alan Sharta.
This is an overshare.
My daily, I get something from the Copaign, New York, where I went Camp Bronx House. Yeah. You know, yeah. And right. Every day they send me the Copaign Front Porch Market sends me their menu for the day, and on their menu today is loaded baked potato soup.
Oh yeah.
And since, without giving anything away, I haven't been allowed to eat anything for 2 days. That loaded baked potato soup looks good to me.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's where you're going to go after you're done. Take a ride.
Way off. Take a ride to get the loaded baked potatoes.
Right.
Loaded with what?
Either that or just go to the Gateway and have a big lunch, you know, whatever you want to do.
Pancakes, sausage.
Right.
Yeah. Eggs. The lumberjack.
Right. You'll turn
have
into
those
lumberjack.
Words ever come out of your mouth? I'll have the lumberjack breakfast.
I have done some
Roselle, get me the lumberjack.
I've done some very strange things in my life. And there are those breakfasts in those places you get tempted, and they have the everything breakfast.
Oh, right.
I've had the everything breakfast.
All right. That's good. I like when it involves 5 plates. Count me in, right, man.
You know, I don't think the dead lady in Massachusetts would approve. Okay. Just saying.
Well, she lived so
long. How old
again?
115.
God love her.
Yeah. That's Bernice right. Emerson Madigan. 115 years old.
Oldest person in the United States. In the world.
In the world.
Was she cognizant when she passed?
No, don't get specific.
She said a glass of wine every day.
Positive attitude, yes, which you got in spades, right? spoonful of honey.
Make some medicine go down.
That's right. I was just about to say that. Yep. That's actually a
spoonful. And she didn't take pills of any kind.
Well, she didn't. Doesn't say that.
Yeah, it did yesterday on yesterday's.
Oh, really?
She didn't.
She didn't take vitamin pills of any kind.
A lot of medication, right? So good for her.
It's
well,
great.
God love her. That's
you know?
A good one.
Yeah, that's a good run.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Baked potato soup, loaded.
For bear.
All right. Speaking of getting loaded, let's start our conversation. Well, first of all, let's begin with the just a horrible story coming out of Paris. This is we just heard from it in the BBC report. The president of France is calling the shooting a terrorist attack. Raise the nation's terror alert status to the highest level after the offices of Charlie Hebdo, a satirical newspaper, were attacked by mass gunmen who were seen fleeing after the shooting. 12 people, we believe, at least to be dead as a result of the deadly shooting. And again, it's, you know, we're talking about a satirical newspaper. It's now being called a terrorist attack. And it just seems to be, it's a horrible thing, and I don't know that we know the full extent of it yet, but it is frightening.
Well, we don't. I mean, the reports that are coming down, and it's obviously one of those, to use a term that's often used too much, fluid situation, but what apparently has happened is the cartoonist who has offended so many in that community is one of those victims today. Mm-hmm. So we will be watching that.
Right, and the editor-in-chief is also...
Well, and 2 police officers, yeah. I believe. Yeah. Yes. So it was. It's as Ray says, the situation is going on, and it's a very disturbing situation. So we'll be having more on that, obviously, throughout the newscasts this morning, at the top and bottom of the hour from the BBC to keep us apprised of that situation.
You know, it's a new kind of brown shirt. That's really what this is. You know, I remember watching, you know, Julia and movies about World War II and the Nazis, and they would go in and they would, you know, destroy the presses, destroy, burn the newspaper offices down. Those were the brown shirts, the fascists. This is just a new, the new twist on a very old way of dealing with open thought and freedom of the press.
Yes.
We look at this situation, and again, we'll have more on it. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about other things, including Mario Cuomo's very emotional funeral yesterday that we covered here, but we want to talk about it as well, also about John Boehner and the new Congress that we have in place. We'll talk about those issues and a lot of other stuff. But first, this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Godfrey Financial Associates, Latham, New York. For nearly 20 years, providing retirement planning and wealth management services for baby boomers and beyond, independent, woman-owned financial firm, GodfreyFinancial.com. Springbrook, Oneonta, New York, supporting people of all ages with developmental disabilities, working in schools, in homes, and in communities across New York to help individuals achieve independence, SpringbrookNY.org. And Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, BoydenandPerrin.com.
So you figure, obviously, there'll be cream in the soup.
Right.
Potatoes.
Probably some cheese.
Cheese. Bacon. Bacon.
Lobster.
A little parsley. Lobster? Like chives, something like that. A little lobster in the...
Do you think that when somebody offers baked potato soup, that means there were some baked potatoes left over from yesterday?
Would you assume that if you have a chicken noodle soup that they were making chicken and they had the excellent?
Yeah, right. Always sort of chicken noodles.
Yeah, yeah, well, like pea soup with the ham.
Oh, pea soup,
delicious. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I mean, I'm answering in the affirmative. I believe your theory is correct.
The way they make that.
Seriously, what happened to this show?
I don't know. I don't really know that anything's happened to it.
No.
Libby's making a motion with her.
I don't like soup.
Really?
How can you not like soup?
How can you not like soup?
You want to know why? And Lynn's going to cringe when I say this. Boy. When I was six in first grade, my mother sent me to school with a thermos full of Campbell's tomato soup.
Okay.
I ate it, and I got...
Oh, boy.
Violently ill.
Violently ill.
All right.
And I can't even be in a room where that is being cooked without gagging, and I just... So, I like chicken noodle soup. I like clear broth.
Well, that's your story.
But I'm not a big soup fan.
Yeah, but that was like 25, 30 years ago.
Doesn't really matter. Look, you know, we all hold on to things from our childhood, Ray. Nice.
Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, trying to pay you a compliment.
Like who we hate.
You know, it's just one of those things. I'm not a big soup fan.
I can understand not liking tomato soup, but I find it interesting that has all
it's
soup.
It's just, yeah, no.
Coming up on Vox Pop, an extended discussion about soup.
All right, let's get to the more weighty subjects of the day, shall
Absolutely.
We?
All right.
Thanks for the memories. And there he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Bob for Texaco Hope. He just leaves the room.
Alan had a call.
Alan had to go.
So, all right.
Alan will soon be leaving the building.
All right. Let's go back to whatever it is that we were doing. And
maybe can we all leave the room?
I don't know if we have that power, right?
Okay. All right.
Let me throw this at you. He's back. Great.
You didn't have to announce I was gone.
You know what? Yes, we did.
Why?
It was
very rude. That's
right. Ray had a very funny line, though.
It was a very important telephone call.
It was a void.
It was Dr. Levine's office reminding me of my 11 o'clock dentist appointment tomorrow.
That's great. Bob Levine?
Oh my God, you have that and your dentist appointment?
I have the other thing, though. Today is the other
thing. No, I know, but that's a lot in a week to be. It's a lot of probing.
You mean
probing.
Really do
more
have
upkeep
a
than the $6 million man? Lee Majors, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's get serious.
The John Boehner. Let's talk about it. We mentioned the story yesterday. You know, we said there could be dissent. There was little, not much. He's in. He's fine. And so, what do you make of this Congress? The tone that both sides are setting. Even the president has said, "I'm willing to work. This is what I'm willing to do." And they said, "That sounds great, but here's what you should do instead."
Yeah. Well, what they're saying is you should give up everything you ever believed in,
right? Right.
And that'll be compromised. Right. You should give up Obamacare. You should give up the oil pipeline. You should let us have that and all the rest. You know, I said yesterday, and I meant it, that the big thing here is that the Republicans have their own crutch here. They have their own problem. They have a right-wing insurgency, which is winning in elections all over the in primary elections all over the country. And so everybody who's sitting there, no matter how moderate, has got to have one. What do they call that, Joe, when you look out of the side of your eye? Isn't there a
side glance?
A side look?
Peripheral vision.
Peripheral vision.
No, not really.
A blinder.
No, there's a word like side look or side something. It's new.
Whatever.
The kids are all using it now.
Okay. Oh, okay.
No,
they're all using it now.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're all looking out of the side of their eye saying, you know, that could be me. Somebody could come along in my party, run in a primary where 10% of the people show up and beat me. So I have to be careful. And I saw that Chris Gibson yesterday, very interestingly, did not vote for Boehner. Because a lot of people say to him, a lot of good Democrats say to him, "I like you, I think you're terrific, but you're going to vote for Boehner, and therefore I can't vote for you."
With his ostensibly his plans for 2018.
Well, nobody really knows.
Right, but whatever he might do in 2018, like
run for governor,
you know, he can't be painted with this ultra right wing politic if he wants to win here in New York State.
Right,
it's just that simple.
Quite right.
But Boehner, you know. He won by the slimmest of margins in, what, 200 years or something like that, in a long time. And it's not going to be easy for him. And, you know, the other day somebody said here, well, the Tea Party's over. Well, the Tea Party's not over. They win in these congressional elections more than they win in the Senate because it's a smaller population.
And because they're gerrymandered.
Right. And they do what they need to do. And people don't come out to vote. But it's going to be an interesting year or two.
Can I ask the political scientist a question that has nothing to do with soup, but it is it's a bit of a tangent anyway, and that is for a politician. Now, we don't know what the man's plans are, or even if he has any. I don't know, but we've seen this before. What is the political advantage of saying, "I would rather be a governor than a congressman"?
Well, it's very simple. If you run for governor of New York State, lots of Democrats will vote for you.
Yeah.
They'll like you. They like you, and being a Republican doesn't mean you're going to vote for the conservative Speaker of the House and support the Republican agenda against the president, which is why Massachusetts, my state, votes for Republicans all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to run for Senate. And, you know, to have an anti-Obama stance. It's another thing entirely to say, okay, I'm going to be a competent, good administrator of the state of New York or the state of Massachusetts, and they'll vote for them. Is that satisfactory?
Absolutely.
You also
Absolutely.
Have more power. In Congress, you're one of 211.
Right.
You know, you have to wait forever.
One of 435, you mean.
Well, isn't...
Oh, you mean the number of Republicans?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. But you're one of many.
Yeah.
211 is down the hill. I'm sorry. You're one of many. You have to wait forever for your seniority to rise. You're governor. You're the top dog.
But isn't that also a much better and much more successful jumping off point if you,
yes,
say, want to be a president?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Chris Gibson real well, and I think the world of him. I think he's a terrific human being. And he has not been afraid to go against the will of the party in the past. So, for example, you know, things like the Iraq incursion and things like that. You know, here's a military man. He's been in the field of battle and all the rest of it. He has been very strong against American involvement across the waters.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how everything plays out. You know, when I read the story originally yesterday, it made it seem like he was resigning. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, it was instant, you know, resignation, which made no sense. You know, but also by saying this so early in his term, it frees him up, but it also makes him more of a lame duck, you know. So
well,
you
can hardly be lame. He lame ducked himself.
Right, he lame ducked
himself. If you think about
himself.
This, because
right.
he said in the beginning, I'm only going to serve 4 terms, 8 years. And a lot of people raised their eyebrows because, in fact, there was a guy interviewed on NPR. I didn't like the interview, by the way, yesterday. A Democrat who said, when they said, how long would you like to be around? It was his first term. He said, maybe 20, 25 years. He said, because around here, basically, seniority counts. The longer you're here, the more clout you have.
Right.
So when Chris Gibson said, I'm going to be here for 8 years, and now it's 6 years, that was a little different. But the American people, by overwhelming majorities, want the Congress people to be term limited. Maybe not their guy, but they want term limits.
Let's take a break, and we'll get the latest news coming out of Paris, as well as other news from the BBC. And then when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll talk about the funeral of Mario Cuomo and the emotional eulogy given by the governor of New York State, plus other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break. What an uplifting conversation we're having this morning.
Pass the Gatorade.
Yay. All right. Welcome back to the roundtable and our panel discussion. I would say it's a free-ranging exchange of ideas this morning on the program. Yes.
Exactly.
Roundtable at WAMC.org. If you would like to enjoy and join in and take part in our conversation, you can also go to WAMC.org/roundtable. We have a letter or two. We'll do that real quick, and then we'll get into some other
we
subjects.
We don't have much. People are basically enjoying the show. And
that's it.
Yeah, the whole soup thing is not taking off.
Bob says, the hypocrisy of the Senate and House leaders calling for comity and cooperation is stunning, but at least laughable. Far worse is their changing the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, so that the fantasy of dynamic scoring, that's what they're calling it
it's really dangerous.
Will now be the rule for scoring the costs of their dangerous budget and tax-cutting proposals. And Michael says, Libby is right. These are not religious zealots. They're Islamofascists, just like Hitler's SA. I guess I'm seeing nothing else. No. That's it.
All right. Thank you, and we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. Obviously, we talked about this a lot. We covered it yesterday, the funeral of former governor of New York State, Mario Cuomo. Alan had great coverage with Benin Azan yesterday that was broadcast on Channel 13, broadcast here on WAMC. And it was a standard Catholic funeral mass up until the end when the governor got up and gave I don't mean this negatively, but a lengthy eulogy to his father. And
doesn't that usually happen?
No, not in the Catholic funerals.
But Teddy Kennedy got up and talked about Bobby at his funeral.
Yeah. But it is the placement of it was interesting because the priest had a few moments and normally that would be where that would take place.
Oh, okay.
They waited till the end
after communion
at the end of the mass, at the conclusion of the end after communion. Raise
okay.
right. And so
and there was massive applause for the speech.
There was. But I found there were parts of it that were political. There were parts of it that were very that were a little chiding, and there were other parts that were deeply emotional and I thought very, very sweet.
Well, you know, there was one thing. There were a couple of things that stood out. I was watching very carefully to the de Blasio politics. Because, you know, he said, we all have to come together. And he tried to pacify both the police side of the fight and the those who believe that the police have been, unkind and unfair to those who are of color. And he said, we have to do that. Now, this governor has not been very nice to de Blasio. I'll tell you right now, he's taken a lot of shots with him. And I, and while many analysts said it was not a political speech, I thought it was an extremely political speech because he injected some of the public policy issues into it. I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with that, since he was eulogizing his father, who in many cases shared those ideas.
Mentioned the two officers who were slain, that his father would be meeting them in heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's right.
You know, the man was a giant.
No question.
And, you know, as we say in the Jewish faith, may his memory be a blessing for not only his family, but for all of New York. Mm-hmm. You know, he has given us a legacy of progressive politics to try and live up to. And we all can do our work and do the best we can to make good on what Mario wanted to have happen for the state of New York in terms of people without getting what they need.
He was the right kind of leader for a very difficult time. I think a lot of people forget that it was a very tough time.
The Reagan administration.
Yeah, and he was a great leader. I'll, of course, always remember him for his humor because Andrew referred to some of that yesterday, but his humor was fantastic. It was almost stand-up. It was that good.
Well, it was, I'm sure there'll be a lot of conversation, I don't know, the picture in the Times of Matilda and Andrew comforting his mother. It's just, you know, it is heart-wrenching. So
that's what you do.
No, I know. It's a very real reaction. It's just very touching. Let's move on to...
Before we do, we have a letter from two of our correspondents, Kay and Charles Abraham, who quite frequently take us on all kinds of subjects, and who I quite frequently disagree with, if that's allowed.
it seems to be allowed.
Talking about Gibson, they say, we will soon see how he responds now that he is free from running for his congressional seat. Will he continue to polish his very few bipartisan stances, or will he begin to rouse up his conservative credentials? He needed to be centrist to win in the 19th district, but that won't fly if he wants to get ahead in the GOP. Yeah, but it will fly if he wants to get ahead in New York State. And that's exactly what you said, Libby, and certainly. Yes. And Ray is shaking his noble head. Yeah.
And rare, no, I agree with you both,
nodding,
rarely.
Yeah. 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 Nodding his noble head, and I agree.
All right. Was there another? I thought there was another.
Yeah, there is. I have a question for the hungry doctor.
Oh, boy.
What's the best and most honest biography of Mario Cuomo, if any exists? The only one that I really know of is mine, is Me and Mario. And that really was the history of the radio show and the humor and the pathos and that went into it. And in this next fund drive, it'll be available, I guarantee you.
I'm sure there'll be some. Yeah. Maybe Paul Grandal will.
He's a great writer.
And he's a wonderful writer, and he does great political biography. And
sure.
Paul, if you're listening, you know, maybe it's time to start. What do I want out of it?
Being nice to Paul.
Oh, nothing. No. I like Paul.
Sometimes people are nice to people just to be nice.
Just to be nice.
Really?
There was.
You do know that. You learned that when you were a child.
Wow.
There was a historian who lives in the South, Robert McElveen,
who
wrote a biography of Mario Cuomo, but it was written. It was written while the governor was still in office. It was written in 1988.
I read it. I don't want to seem competitive, but
I think if you're looking for a biography that puts his time as a governor into a perspective, I don't think that book has been written yet.
No.
Safe to say.
And what's great is that there are so many people in the Capital District and in New York who are wealths of information that people, whoever might write this book, can talk to and do the research with.
And don't forget Cuomo's own books. Cuomo wrote a lot, and a great book on his diaries of being governor, and as well as some.
Oh, he wrote his diaries.
Harold Holzer will write a biography.
Who?
Harold Holzer.
Might be.
He told us the other day that he was going to write the book on the speech.
On the
keynote speech.
And we are of course in the preparation stage now. David Gustin is working on it for a major program on the speech.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Let's move on to.
We have a couple more, Joe. You want to hear?
Go ahead. Okay.
All right. Here we go. Daryl says, Daryl says, I just heard Alan discuss term limits. I think it's a mistake to have term limits because it will focus more power in the hands of the political parties and unelected people like lobbyists. Why? Because as a new person in any job, it takes a while to understand the job and get it done. Initially, that will force you to rely on your party and staffers and aides. The problem is the political parties and lobbyists. I don't agree, but we're glad you wrote and gave us your view. And most political scientists, by the way, do not like term limits because they say basically it limits people's opinion options to vote for who they want to.
Right. And, you know, I'm now starting to, as I said a couple of days ago, reevaluate just because of the scandals that have been happening.
Sure.
But term limits are about people getting out to vote. That's how you term limit your elected officials. People get out and vote them in or vote them out of office.
And I've often said God has term limits. So, I did say that.
That he does.
Okay.
Yes.
And Brian says, forgot to sign my email. Okay, wait a second. I don't get it. I don't know. Okay, forget that. All right. Argument against term limits. All right. Okay. Jeff Hayes says, oh yeah. Okay. Then that's it. Okay.
All right. Let's move on to other topics. 6 years ago, the state of Florida passed a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, garnering 62% of the vote. 6 years later, yesterday, Florida became the 36th state to legalize same-sex marriages, and the marriages took place from Key West to Miami mm-hmm. Beach, from Orlando to Fort Lauderdale. So another one in the win column, Libby.
Oh, yes. I mean, this is in 2009 when New York came on board. I think we were still in single digits. You know, maybe we were the ninth or the eighth state. And now 36 states, this is over. This conversation is, for all intents and purposes, over. If it gets to the Supreme Court with this overwhelming majority of states doing it, it's going to be very difficult for people to for the court to overturn, and they then would be overturning their own decisions. But it's, you know, it's something like close to 80% of people now live in states with marriage equality. And let me ask, any of the heterosexual marriages in any of those states gone under because of same-sex marriage? I don't think so. And that's the argument.
Well, no, I'll tell you what the argument is, Libby, although I should not certainly try to even talk to you about the logic here. But the logic for me is, if people want to get married, right, why can't they get married?
That's right. Well,
you know,
that's
true. You don't have to like it. And that brings up Mario's great Notre Dame speech,
right,
which is,
you might,
who's supposed to tell everybody else what they can do?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, this is a great step forward. Florida's a big state. You know, there was some, in the last few weeks, there was the Association of County Clerks, or whatever they call them there, saying if any of you give out marriage licenses, you're going to go to jail. They really did a lot of fear politics in all of this. There are many counties in county clerks are now saying we're not doing any courthouse marriages because we don't want to give anybody, any same-sex couple, the chance to marry in our courthouse, so we're not going to let anybody marry in our courthouse.
Well, and they say, and the reasoning for that, which
it's because
is
of people's religious beliefs.
Right, well, they believe that they don't want to have their staff, quote-unquote, subjected to that, which seems...
Yeah, well, let's give me a break.
But I'm wondering, like, doesn't that, well...
Bolsters our arguments.
Well, doesn't that go against what is being, if you have a judge that says you lift the...
No kidding.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, you know, everybody has their own version of the law, and these people want to rewrite it back to, say, Dred Scott. So, you know, this is great. We're going to see a lot of other states go soon. I mean, Texas is the only other big population state, and that is in the courts right now.
Don't hold your breath. That's Texas.
I know, but...
Well, the Florida case is going to go to the 11th Circuit.
One of these cases is going to end up in front of the Supreme Court. They're going to decide soon which case is going to end up in front of the Supreme Court.
Right. Okay.
And that'll be that.
Salute.
Thank Gesundheit. You. My apologies.
It's a wonderful thing, and there are lots of people who got married right away, which is always wonderful.
Sure, that's a good idea.
Get it done. Right.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Bard College Master of Arts and Teaching Program, offering one-year full-time and two-year part-time master's degrees and teacher certification, accepting applications through April 30th, teaching what matters, bard.edu/MAT. And the Blue Marble, a world of gifts in Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring hand-selected jewelry from over 40 artists, including local, Native American, and fairly traded work, thebluemarble.biz.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and our conversation this morning. Alan mentioned this a few moments ago. I shouldn't say a few moments ago, but more than a half hour ago, about when we were talking about Boehner and talking about the new Congress, Speaker Boehner and the new Congress, and about the Keystone Pipeline. I just want to talk a little bit more about that. The president has said that he will veto the Keystone bill. According to reports, President Obama would veto a bill that would allow for the construction of the Keystone Pipeline. According to the White House, if the bill passes this Congress, the president would not sign it, according to Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary. The White House's announcement came as the Republican-controlled Congress was being sworn in. GOP leaders have pledged to pass a bill authorizing the pipeline's construction.
Well, yeah, you know, think about, we talked about this a bit yesterday, I think, in terms of the new Obama. The new Obama is a fighter. If he gives in, think about the strategy here. First of all, I don't think he agrees with it. But let's assume that now he has to decide whether to go along with them to show some good faith or not. If he doesn't sign it, if he signs it, they look like they have, you know, a guy who is just going to do whatever they want. They've got him under their thumb. But if he says no, which is what his constituents want him to do, and if he says no, and I'm an environmentalist, and they said yesterday, well, it's just a extreme environmentalist
which
that
is
stopping,
so not yeah, true.
They're stopping this from happening, and he fights with them. That's what Democrats want to see, and that's his constituency. And I think independents like guys who stand up to bullies.
Mm-hmm. When. But how do you think it'll work out eventually? I mean, do you think it'll happen, or is it just a matter of time, or will he really be able to?
Well, the logic, Joe, is not good. They want to take dirty oil from Canada, put it in a pipeline, send it through the United States. A few jobs get used to make it happen, and then to ship it from the southern ports to other places. Now you've got a glut of oil on the marketplace, and so it's not really a helpful time for the Republicans. What in the world is their reasoning? If we were now at $5 a gallon and things were happening, but we're not, and we have all this extra oil. So that argument, plus the fact that they're despoiling, you know, the places they're taking it from.
And it's the most dangerous kind of oil to ship.
Yeah.
You know, it's this kind of oil that comes through Albany that could blow up in a heartbeat and in all those trains. And so what happens when you have some type of fire underground? What happens to all that farmland it's going to be running under? I mean, there's all kinds of things that...
Hey, I don't want the thing coming through my house.
Right, right. Not in my backyard. It's all going to end up being through major blight, urban blight areas. You know, I mean, it's just, it's...
Ray, how would you feel if it came through Delmar?
I don't know. But I think that you made a good point, and that would, I guess, be twice in the same show, which is something... you made a good point. I think this would already be built had it been stated at the outset that all of these resources are going to stay here in North America.
Sure.
And but because it's been so clear that that's not where it's going, it's really tough to make a case saying, okay, let's do this.
Right.
We're going to be the highway and not have anything to do
with them. Let me ask the stupid question of the day, because I just don't know the answer, and everybody's going to yell at me. But why can't they ship it from Canada?
What do you mean?
Put it in boats
in
Canada.
I think it's the refining. It's
the refining that is important.
And
here,
it's more expensive to ship it, put it on a boat. I mean,
tough noogies.
I know, but
doesn't it have to get out?
I get tough noogies, but they're taking it from.
Do you?
Occasionally, yes, I do. You know, but if it's in the western part of Canada, it's coming from. So, you know, if they want to take it by boat and to get it over to the eastern part of the universe, you know, you have to go all the way down to the Panama Canal through and back up, and bring it down to some docks, you know, some big ports on the west coast, maybe in Canada, the dock of LA, and put it on a train and bring it across the country. So it would be more expensive, supposedly. You know, I want to look at, okay, the political contributions from all the Keystone folks and look at the reports from the Republicans in the Congress and follow the dots of the money.
One from Gary, regular correspondent.
Yes.
I really have enjoyed your coverage of the passing of Mario Cuomo. Is there any way you could post the Ginger and Notre Dame speeches on your webpage? Well, there will be an opportunity to get the best of the Cuomo years during the fund drive. That I can tell you. But I'm going to give you a secret. If you go to this week's Capital Connection, okay? This week's Capital Connection.
Won't be up yet, right?
Friday. That's when a good deal of the stories will be in that show. David Gustina hosts it, and I'm his guest.
All right.
Okay.
By the way, I want to get to the Baseball Hall of Fame and talk just a little bit about that. But before we do, I'm not one for endorsing websites. Let me just say, if you go to the Washington Post, they have the coolest thing on there this morning. It's called the Joe Biden Random Compliment Generator. and what it is that if you're a congressperson, a congressional representative, and you get
elected, then you get to bring your family with you. Right?
No, it's Congress. If you go into Congress, right, newly sworn in members have the opportunity often.
I thought it was just.
No. Let's just get the terminology correct. Congress is both houses
of the
Senate.
Right.
Okay. But Congress, when you refer to Congress, it's almost always the House.
Right.
So you have an opportunity. You can invite the vice president to stand with you, perhaps hold the Bible or whatever. And what the Post did is over the last several years. Collected these little gems in 2013 and 2015 from the weird things that Joe Biden would say to real senators and congressional representatives who were being sworn in. And then what you do is it says this means these are real things that he said, but pretend he's saying them to you.
Okay.
All right? And then you press a button that says, compliment me, Joe. And it says, hey, Dad, welcome to the old Senate. Good to see you, Mom. What a great day for you. We both have something in common, you know. We both married up.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
As they say in Southern Delaware, you done good, boy.
To me, you know, there's that point at which, you know, parsimonious persnickety.
Snarkiness.
Yes. I think it's funny.
Well, today he got in the paper because he said to the granddaughter of one of the senators.
Yes.
Said, who's a pretty young lady. They said to her. He said to her, they're going to have to build a big fence around your house.
Yeah.
There was a whole segment on Rachel Maddow last night showing all these clips of him saying different things. And one was just somebody who was a grandfather saying, well, you know, you put her to bed and she's a lovely butterfly. In the morning, she wakes up a snake. And I really don't quite get that. I didn't quite understand that, you know, but he does say the most incredible things to people.
Which I love. Yeah. I find him to
down
be just
kind of guy.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ray, want to talk about the
travesty?
What's the travesty?
Against humanity and justice? That Mike Piazza did not make the Hall of Fame.
How did that, is that because of
why is
that? Questionable?
There are some suspicions that he used PED, but no, you know, in this day and age.
That's just wrong.
If the, show
it's
me the proof.
Wrong he wasn't put in there.
But it's the baseball writers being writers. Mike Piazza, greatest hitting catcher of all time.
Yeah, no, I know.
Remember him?
Yeah, I do, and I think he's the best. Best catcher of all time.
Best
after Yogi.
Hitting catcher. No, best hitting catcher.
After Yogi and what's his
and
name?
Tim McCarver.
And the guy who died
Tim
in
McCarver,
the Yankees.
McCarver, he's like 220.
But he was a
what about the guy
catcher.
Who died in the Yankees?
Oh, Roy
Bill
Dickey?
No.
No, he was the Dodgers.
He was the Dodgers.
Oh, sorry.
No, the cat Thurman Munson.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about who was
all right, Randy Johnson, yep. Pedro Martinez, check and check. They both deserve it. Yep. Pedro had maybe the most dominant 5 or 6 years mm-hmm. since Koufax. Randy Johnson won 5 Cy Youngs, I think.
Yeah, in a row or something like
was
that.
It really 5 in a row?
Well,
no.
Three in a row. Yeah.
And so they deserve
it.
Craig Biggio, if Biggio gets in, Piazza should get in, I believe.
Yeah, and who was
look
Biggio
at the
numbers. Again? Of him.
He was a player for the Astros. He played most of his. Did he play the whole career for the Astros?
No, not about his whole career, but he played for the. Yeah,
and he was very good. He was a very good infielder, and he could hit the ball, and didn't have as many Silver Sluggers or All Star appearances as Piazza.
The Silver Sluggers.
Best hitting at your position.
Silver Sluggers.
Yeah. All right, this is, you know what? Why bother, Joe?
All right.
You know, well, wait.
Well, hold on. We only have 15 seconds. Well, go ahead.
Okay, I just
can you do
say,
it in 15 seconds?
Yes. Pedro Martinez did an interview. Or he made a statement at the Red Sox, and he was really very eloquent about how he did it on his own way. He could have used performing enhancing drugs. He passed on the opportunity because he wanted to do it his way.
Yeah. And we didn't mention John Smoltz. Also,
yeah, well,
he should get
right.
into.
Yeah, okay, all right. That's the class for of the Hall of Fame that will be inducted in Cooperstown during the summer. Thank you very much for being a part of the conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, good luck.
Okay. I'm hungry.
And Ray and Olivia, talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Okay.